We're going to continue our study in Isaiah. And as we do so, I want to ask you a question to start with. Have there ever been times in your life where you are praying to God, trying to connect with Him, but you feel like God is not answering your prayers or He's really far away? And you're doing all these things during the week, trying to be, you know, religious, you're trying to read your Bible maybe, you're trying to spend time with God in prayer, you're trying to go to a Bible study maybe during the week or a D group, you're trying to go to church on Sunday and worship, you're doing all these things that you feel like they should help you be more connected to God and should help you have a better audience where He answers your prayers, but you're getting sort of frustrated, you're getting a little upset. You don't know what's going on, and you might even be thinking, God, what's going on? I mean, why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you answering my prayers? Where are you? What are you doing? Do you care about me? Why do you feel so far away? Well, the Israelites wondered about that in our passage today in Isaiah. They felt like they were following God, seeking God. They felt like they had a heart that wanted to obey God and His laws, that everything they were doing was to worship Him. But they felt like God wasn't hearing their prayers. And the answer God gives them to why He was not answering His prayers is rather shocking. What we're going to do today is look at what the Israelites were doing that was disconnecting them with God. And then we're going to see what God tells them to change so that reconnection can occur. And as we're doing that, as we're looking at the Israelites, we're going to look at ourselves and say, are we doing the same thing as the Israelites are? Are we acting just like them? And do we need to change what they need to change when it comes to worshiping God and praying to Him? As we read through this passage today, we're going to be reading it out of order, and it's going to look like this up here on the screen. Those of you online, hopefully you can see that as well. We're going to read it out of order, because first we're going to look at the problem that the Israelites felt like they were having, right? You're not hearing our prayer. We're going to then just look at the sin. God calls them out and says, this is what is wrong. This is what you're doing is wrong. And then we're going to look at the verses that describe what they need to change. And the ones that are in blue, we're going to look at last about what, when you do change, what happens in your life? How is this a good thing? So, we're going to read this out of order. You can look at your Bible. I encourage you to open your Bible up. If you don't have a Bible, please come and let us know. We would love to give you one. But look at your Bible. But I am going to have parts of this where we read together out of the Bible, and then I'm going to have some verses on the screen so you're not getting confused, like, which verse are we reading? Because this is going to be all out of order from what we read in Scripture. So, let's first talk about the problem the Israelites were feeling. That they were feeling that God wasn't hearing their prayers, even though they're doing all this religious stuff to try to connect with Him. So turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58. Those of you online as well. Isaiah 58, and let's look at verses 1 through the first part of verse 3. Isaiah 58, starting at verse 1 through just the first half of verse 3. This is the New King James Version. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. A nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of their God. They ask me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. And they say, why have we fasted and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you have not taken notice? Oh. So here we see the Israelites describing what they feel is a problem. And we clearly see that God in verse 1 is calling them out that actually what you're doing is sinful. But it doesn't make sense when you first read it. Let me think about it. What the Israelites are saying is, God, I'm seeking you through these religious practices. I care about what you want from me and what you expect of me, but you feel really far away. It feels like you're not hearing my prayers. And they're really frustrated. And if you look at that list, look at it, what it actually says, saying we're doing all the right religious stuffs. Now, when this was written, Isaiah is definitely probably talking about the Israelites who lived about 2,700 years ago. The northern nation of Assyria had destroyed the nation of Israel with the 10 tribes to the north in 722 BC, so this happened after that. So they're probably thinking, God, why are you letting this happen? How come our brothers and sisters are being conquered and taken away to slavery, and then we are afraid of ourselves? The nation of Judah was just two tribes, and they're afraid that they're going to be conquered by the Assyrians as well during this time. This could also be talking to the Israelites when they were in Babylon, in exile, when the nation of Judah was conquered by the Babylonians in 605 to 586 BC, and then they're 70 years there. It could also be referring to that time. They're going, God, we're trying to follow you, but you keep letting us get conquered. We're in slavery. Do you care about us? We're trying to do all those religious practices. And that's a big problem, right? I mean, they're seeking God, it says. Look at that in verse 2. They seek God daily. Well, that's a pretty good thing to do. They delight to know my ways. Well, yeah, I mean, I delight to know God's ways. They don't forsake the laws of their God, the ordinances. So those laws in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, all those things, they're like, hey, we don't think those are bad. We're going to follow them. We're going to be different than the other nations of the world. You want justice. God, we want justice too. We want things to be fair. And for people, when they go to the courts actually do what is good and right and just, and not something that is influenced by briberies or by the most popular person getting off while everybody else has to pay for their sins. And then they focus on one thing specific. So they got kind of like this general thing. And then they say, but God, we also fast. We fast. We limit ourselves from eating. We take a period in our life where we don't eat any food so that we can be connected with you. It's one of the most intimate ways you can be connected with God almost. And there was actually only one time in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that actually said you had to fast. And that was during the holiday of Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is just the Day of Atonement, where they get a lamb and they would slaughter it and the sins would go on a scapegoat and go out, and it's all this big thing. So there's one day a year where God did expect them to fast. There's some other ones that came up later on in the Jewish nation. But when it comes to the first five books, that was it. So they're saying, we're not just doing it once. In fact, some of the scribes and the Pharisees would do it once a week. So some of these people are doing it often. They're saying, Lord, we're taking the time to say no to physical needs so that we can meet our spiritual needs with you. And we have afflicted our soul. They're saying, like, this is so hard, God. Look at how we're suffering for you. We're doing this, and look at us. It's just this beautiful display of worship, and I'm denying myself these things so that I'm more connected with you. Why don't you see that and then answer my prayers? And we could feel the same thing, can't we? Now think about us. You might feel the same way the Israelites do, where, man, you're going to a Bible study or a D group during the week. Maybe you show up on Tuesday nights, and you're faithful to it, and you engage in the class you're talking about, you do the homework, and then, you know, you try to spend time to pray during the week. You're not very good at it, but you know, it's on your mind, and you try to do it, and man, you're one of those faithful givers. Wow, you're giving like $250 a week at church, and man, if people knew, they'd just be impressed that you're doing that, but nobody knows, except for a few people at church, and man, but does God, I mean, you see what I'm sacrificing? I could use that $1,000 a month on something else. I mean, and I go to church. I try not to miss a Sunday, except for on Super Bowl Sunday. Some people are gone, but that's okay. Sorry, that's a really bad dig. So I'm doing all these churchy things. I'm doing religious practices. I'm even maybe taking time to try to help people during the week. And God, I'm doing all these things, and it's like you don't even care, you don't even notice, and I feel like you're not even answering my prayers. This is a problem, God. And God says, oh, let's talk about this. Really? You're doing all that for me? You're doing it for me. In fact, in verse 1, we know there's something wrong here because God gets very explicit to Isaiah. He says, shout this from the rooftops. Be like a trumpet being blared that you're sinning against me. All this stuff that you're doing means nothing to me. Whoa, God, hold on a second. I mean, I'm doing the things you told me to do, right? That's what the Israelites thought. Like, I'm following the Torah. I'm following the law, your Mosaic covenant. You said if we do this, you'll bless us. If we don't do this, you'll curse us. Like, come on, God. And we're not under the Old Testament anymore, okay? We don't have to follow the Old Testament laws. We're under the New Testament. the covenant of grace through Jesus Christ, right? But God still holds us to a standard, right? There's still morals that we have to abide by because of who God is. We ought to do things. And he also tells us to do things like he says, well, what's the purpose of the church, right? It's worshiping God, fellowshipping, praying, remembering communion, studying his word. Like, so we're supposed to do that on Sunday and even during the week. So God, what am I doing wrong? What sin am I committing that makes you say, none of that matters to me? Let's see what's going on with the Israelites, and then we can check ourselves to see if we fall in the same sin. Look at verses, the last part of verse 3 through verse 5. Isaiah 58, the last part of verse 3 in the New King James Version, it says, in fact, and then it goes all the way through verse 5. God says, in fact, in the day of your fasting, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush, which is just like a reed in the wind, and to spread out a sackcloth and ashes to like look like you're mourning and how horrible it is and how you're denying your bodily desires? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? And the answer there is no. Oh, God, hold on a second. You're a little rough there, man. What's going on here? God says, you don't hear from me because you play religion one day and then you are just terrible the rest of the time. You play religion because you want something out of it when you do it. You're hoping to manipulate me and say, look at what a great job I'm doing. Look at how religious I'm being. Look at how faithful I'm being. Now, God, here's what I want now, all right? Or God, look at all the things I'm doing on Sunday. I'm so religious. I'm trying my best. And then during the week, you're absolutely horrible to other people, whether it be your family, your spouse, your friends, your coworkers, whatever it might be. Look at what the Israelites, when you look at that passage, God tells them, you're not acting the way you should. You're sinning. They're selfish. So what they're doing here is when they're fasting, they are doing it for their own pleasure, meaning that they expect God to do something for them because what they're doing for God. This is paganism all over it, okay? The pagan world, and even our world, you talk about the worldviews that we struggle with here today, says, God, if I do A, then you will do B for me. So God, if I come to church every Sunday, let's negotiate and say that you need to bless me financially at work. And Lord, if you bless me financially at work, I'll give a little bit more. But then when I give a little bit more, I expect you to give me enough money so I can buy that second house at the lake. And Lord, if I use that second house of the late, I might do a Bible study at it. But Lord, if I do that Bible study, Lord, I want to get that brand new car that I want. Do you see how it's like this bargaining with God? It's all self-seeking, self-centered for your own pleasure. And then also we see the Israelites there as well. They're having this conflict in society. So what's happening here is they're saying, look at God, look at our relationship. I am focused on you. But then when they go out and live their daily lives, they're absolutely miserable to everybody else. They're selfish. They want their own way. They don't care about their coworkers. They gossip behind their back, whatever it might be. And God says, okay, hold on a second. When I told you to fast, was it so you could just be religious, so you could get something out of me, and then you could just be terrible the rest of the week? No, that's not what fasting is. If you want to fast from something, it's not that. It's not being one thing and playing religion one day and then going to whatever you want the other time. That is not what fasting is about. And what God's doing here is he's going to focus on fasting and even observing the Sabbath for the Israelites to kind of hyper-focus on a particular thing that they're talking about and showing what hypocrites they are. And the same thing is true with us, right? We can come to church on a Sunday. We can give to the church. Maybe you're online and you're like, oh, I feel like giving today, Lord. I'm going to bless you. Lord, I'm gonna knock your socks off. Look at how much I'm gonna give, Lord. Look at me. And then you're like, you know what? I'm gonna be super spiritual this week. I'm gonna go to two D groups this week. I'm going to go to the one on Tuesday. I'm going to go to the one on Friday. And then, Lord, oh boy, I'm going to pray. Lord, I'm going to pray every day. And not just 5 minutes, Lord, I'm going to give you 7 minutes of my day. And we do that, yet then we go through the rest of the week with your spouse. You start snapping at them because they did something you didn't like they didn't put the dishes in the dishwasher. And you're like, why are you, well, hold on a second. I know that's a foul, okay? Okay, I get it. But why are you snapping at your spouse? Is there something underneath that? You're like, I'm really stressed. Can you help me out? Maybe that's what's going on. But why are you being ugly to your spouse? And then kids, you get this too. I've seen this with my boys. They're in the kitchen. There's not a lot of room, you know, for people to wander around. One of them is getting juice out of the refrigerator. The other one wants to get by. And it's like, close the refrigerator door. I need to get by. Ugh. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, walk around. This isn't hard. Or you're there at work, and man, you got your cell phone, and you're just flipping, going on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. I don't know. I'm not into this stuff, so if I'm forgetting, Twitter, TikTok, thank you. Oh my. And then you spend an hour flipping through this, and you're like, oh yeah, I got to get back to work. And then you see your coworker come over, and they're like, did you see what Bob did? No, what did Bob do? And you sit there for 10 minutes talking about Bob behind his back. God's saying, what is wrong with you? One day you act religious and you think, oh man, I'm really proud of myself. And the next day you just go on during your work week and you live terrible. I don't want hypocrites. This is what you're doing wrong. If you expect me to answer you when you're doing religious stuff one day and then you're just terrible the rest, I'm not going to answer your prayers. I'm going to feel like I'm really far away from you because something is wrong in our relationship. So the question becomes then, what do we need to change so we're reconnected with God and He hears our prayers? This is where we're going to go a little out of order, and I do have the slides up here on the screen. We're going to be looking at three different spots. The first one's going to be in verses 6 through 7. So let's see in our passage what God tells the Israelites, what they need to change, and then see what we need to change as well in our life so that we're reconnected with God and He answers our prayers. Isaiah 58, 6 through 7 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free? And that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. The last part of verse 9 to the first part of verse 10 says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfied the afflicted soul. Do you see how it repeated from verses 6 and 7? It repeats it right here in these verses. And the last verse we'll look at, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. What God is saying that you need to change, what he's telling the Israelites, he says, listen, instead of playing religion, change and do what is just and honorable, or hospitable. Stop talking the talk and go walk the walk. Oh, whoop-de-doo, so you take a fast and you deny yourself some food so that you can be connected with me. I don't care if your life isn't changed in the other areas in which you live. That is meaningless to me if you're acting religious one day and then you're doing what is terrible the rest of the day. If you want to abstain from something, is what he's telling the Israelites, if you want to abstain from something, stop being a jerk to other people. Why don't you fast from that for a week, okay? Do you see? It is supposed to be kind of funny. If you want to fast from something, okay, stop, maybe fast from food, but how about you give that food to the hungry instead? Do something. This is like what James says, your faith without works is dead. Go live out your faith That is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a transformation from the way you think to the way you feel to the way you live. I want to see that. And God is telling the Israelites, go and do it. And he points out two things here. Actually, three things. The first is justice. So he says, be just with other people. What does that look like? Okay, forgive people. If someone is oppressed, go defend them. Break everything that is holding people down, that's oppressive, that ties them down in their life, that are restrictions that are not godly restrictions, that are lies that they believe. Go and be hospitable. Share with the poor your food. Bring the people into your house who need a place to stay. Give them clothes if they need. Now, this isn't talking about the lazy person in society, okay? If someone wants to be a drug addict and live on the streets and doesn't want to change, we can't help them unless they want to change, okay? But if they're willing to go into rehab and they need some support, and God's put it on your heart to go help them, God says, go do it. Now, I'm not saying that's what God's going to ask you to do. But maybe there's a person in your life that needs a little help. And you're doing all this religious stuff. You're involved in a D group, and you pray, and you read your Bible, and you give, and you do all these things. You come to church. But then there's no action with the words that you know are true. God's saying, go correct that. Change who you are so you're more like Christ. That's what he did. He went around, and Jesus had dinner with who? What were those? Two big groups that he looked. One starts with a T, one starts with a P. Tax collectors and prostitutes. Well, those were a group that you didn't want to hang with. And even in our passage here, where it talks about not even helping your own flesh, in verse 7 at the very end, it says, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. That's talking about helping relatives. Now, again, there might be some relatives you're like, I ain't going to give them a dime because they're going to just spend that in ways that are improper. I get that. But do you have an ability to help a family member in need? Because guess what? You're supposed to help them first before you even give to the church. If you have a mother or father who's still living and they need your care and you are right now caring for them and honoring them, you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. If your mother or father is asking for help and you're like, I don't want to do that, you're being disobedient to God. Now again, we're not going to enable people into sinful habits. That's what we're talking about here. But God is calling us to change. And he also tells them to change what they do on the Sabbath, which was Saturday for them. Sabbath was a day of rest where they're supposed to focus on God and worship him. And what he's saying they're doing is instead of, they're saying like, look, it's kind of like what we do. I'm going to pick on the day just because it's Super Bowl. It's like, okay, let me go to church and check that off. Then I can go have fun this afternoon, right? I mean, I do that too, okay? I'm guilty of that too. It's sort of like this checklist. I've been very spiritual. Look at God. You must be happy because I did something spiritual. I went to church. And then let me go party the rest of the night. And God's saying, you know what? How about you make the day, if you're going to fast from something, how about you fast from being a selfish person and give me one day out of the week where you worship me? Why do you go around doing whatever you want, making deals, business deals, doing, you go home and you're working on the computer because you're doing something good. You're doing work. Maybe you're getting a head start on the week and you're trying to be a faithful worker, as someone that's responsible and trustworthy. But God's saying, you know what? You need to trust me. If you're doing all that so they notice you, so you get a promotion, but you come to church and expect me to bless you because you checked it off your box, and you're like, I'm being religious, God. Help get me this promotion. But then you go on that day that he wants you to rest, and you're doing more work so you get that promotion. God's saying, you don't trust me. I'm not the Lord of your life. I'm a genie you like to rub the magic lamp and then have me grant your wishes. No, change the way you live. In what ways? Be just to people. Be hospitable. Spend time with me. Not just a little bit, but a lot. Now, when I was reading this and thinking through this, there were some objections I had about what we've been talking about. And the first one that came to mind was like, well, hold on a second. Okay, we were talking about fasting. But didn't Jesus in Matthew 6 says, hey, everybody, when you fast, do it this way. So God is telling us that we should fast. So what are you telling me, Pastor Peter? Like we shouldn't fast? We shouldn't do these religious things like go to a Bible study or pray or go to church? Are we not supposed to do those things? No, that's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying those things are still good. Jesus is saying fasting is good, but remember what Jesus actually says in this passage, and I encourage you to go look at it. Actually, you know what? We're going to go look at it. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. Those of you at home, turn there as well. If you don't know where Matthew is, it's the first book in the New Testament. But that won't help you because there's all that Old Testament right before it, so you're still going to have to dig. Matthew 6. Verses 16 through 18, Jesus says this. Matthew 6, 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. Oh, wait, that's what our passage was about, right? It's not being a hypocrite. How are they hypocrites? With a sad countenance. Oh, that sounds like the Israelites. Oh, look at how much we are suffering for you, Lord. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head like with oil and wash your face. Don't look like you're just a mess. So that you do not appear to be men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do you see how this is exactly the same thing we just saw in Isaiah 58, what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6? Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, stop being a hypocrite. You're doing all this religious stuff, and you think God should bless you and hear your prayers. It means nothing to God because you don't have a changed heart. You're whitewashed tombs. What does that mean? On the outside, you look pretty. On the inside, you're disgusting. And God's saying, take care of the inside part. Let me transform that. And then let that transform the way you live. And that will be meaningful to me, and I will meet you with your prayers, and I will hear you, and I will reward you. Why? Because you're not doing it for the rewards. You're doing it because you love God, and you love people. You have something inside you that has changed, and it motivates you to do these things. You're not looking to God to get something out of it by doing these religious things. In fact, those things are secondary to anything. All that matters is I want to be connected to God, and I want to make a difference in this world. That goes with this other objection, actually, that came up with me. It's the same thing. How is obeying the Sabbath not playing religion for the Israelites? I mean, God's telling them, like, you know, hey, observe one day. Okay, I'll be super spiritual this day. No, what was happening here is Sabbath and fasting were specifically focusing on two parts. One, it was all about connecting with God. Fasting was to deny your physical pleasures of eating so that you connected with God, and then the Sabbath was to stop working during the week so that you would trust God so you can have a spiritual connection with God. And so he's pointing these two things out, saying you've got them all backwards. You're not doing them for the right reasons. And these were like big things for the Israelites. And what he's saying is, listen, when you actually worship me on the Sabbath like I intended and you're giving me your heart, I'm going to be connected with you. I'm going to hear your prayers and I'm going to answer them. But if you're just going to make this a checklist and you play religion, it doesn't matter to me. And for the Israelites, observing the Sabbath was sort of this barometer of how well they were obeying the old Mosaic covenant. And for us, gathering together as believers can be a barometer of, like, how much are we following Jesus? Do you want to get together with other Christians, or do they kind of annoy you? You know, I want to do all those religious stuff. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Yeah, you want to go do spiritual stuff and feel good, and then you don't do anything the rest of the week. Come on. God's saying, no, I want to see a change in your life. So for us, instead of observing the Sabbath or fasting, you could put any of the spiritual disciplines in there that we've been talking about. And what God is saying is, instead of attending another Bible study, how about change the way you act towards your spouse or your coworker or that kid at school that you make fun of? You know, instead of sleeping in till 10 a.m. and being grumpy and coming to church on a Sunday, how about you get up early and give God your best? How about you prepare your heart in the morning to come and worship God? How about instead of going to another meal, fellowshipping with other believers, how about you go to the grocery store together, buy a bunch of food, and give it to the Lilburn Co-op? See, like doing like Bible studies and praying and, you know, giving at church financially and doing projects. We're not saying you don't do those things. But I think sometimes we as Christians can be just like the Israelites, right? There's nothing new under the sun. Sort of check off all these boxes, look at how religious I am, and then feel far away from God because we do all these things in our little holy huddles, a little bubble, but we don't get out in the world and actually live out our faith. God's saying, go. I know you might be an introvert and that scares you. So there's things you can do behind the scenes that aren't necessarily out in the public, okay? But God is saying, I want you to see a transformation. I want you to live out what you believe is true. I believe in you. I've given you the ability to do that. My spirit is in you. I've given you new nature. You know what you should do because you read my word and you spend time with other believers. Now go be that everywhere you are. And God gives a beautiful encouragement of what will result if you make that change in your life. Let's look at the last verses in our passage in Isaiah 58. I'll have them up here on screen as well because we're going to jump around. But again, please follow along with your Bible, in your Bible, if you want to do so. Isaiah 58, verses 8 through 9, the first part, it's going to tell us what it looks like, what happens to you, what are the results when you live a changed life like God is calling us to. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here am I. Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old wasted places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called to the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. When you live a changed life for the Lord, God says, I will answer your prayers and you will impact this world for good. If we look at this passage or these verses that we read, there's multiple things that he's actually saying to Israelites. In verse 8, he uses that illustration that Jesus pointed at, light and darkness, to basically say, if you live a changed life like this and aren't just playing religion, you're going to be a blessing to the world. People will notice the difference. They're going to see that there's something different about you, that God is in you. And they're going to ask, what's going on? Why are you being this way? Why do you feel like, I feel like you walk in the room and you bring joy and truth into it? And God says in verse 9, if you live this changed life, when you cry out to me in your time of need, I'm going to respond, I hear you. I'm here. I'm going to answer your prayers. Why? Because you're connected with me with a changed heart. You're not playing religion expecting God to do something for you. You're not making him be this genie that you rub the lamp where you get hopefully three wishes. You're saying, no, what I want most of all, Lord, is a connection with you, because if I'm connected with you, Lord, then I'm like a spring that just wells with water within me and it pours out into everybody else. In verse 11, he says, you know what? If you make this change, I'm going to be with you during the good times and the bad times. If you make this change, tells them, I'm going to transform your nation. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You're not going to have impact just on your generation. If you live this way, your kids and their kids are going to be impacted by the way you live. Not only that, for the Israelites, this was important from the destruction of the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, and specifically Jerusalem. You're going to go back and you repair those breaches that they made through the walls. You're going to restore the streets so that people walk on them again. Again, you can take this over to us. When you live this way, lives are changed. Relationships are healed because you are the one living for God. You restore the breaches in your life that you've made or the enemy has made. You repair the roads and the connections with people if you live this way. God says, I'll be with you in that, and it will happen. And not only that, in verse 14, you will have an inheritance. And specifically, actually, this is focusing on the prosperity and abundance of food that God promises people if they would just live for Him. So He's saying, I will prosper you if you live the changed life. Now, does that mean that you're never going to have any trials and you're going to just have a bunch of money and all that stuff? No. That's not what that means. It could mean that, but oftentimes it doesn't mean that this side of eternity, but there will be rewards in the kingdom to come when Jesus returns. So what can we take away from this passage today? This is what I want you to walk away with. Live Monday to Saturday the way you act right here on a Sunday. You guys are nice to each other. You go up and shake people's hands. You try not to have arguments. You might be mad at your spouse, but you just smile. What's up? So I'm not saying fake it. I'm saying go deal with your heart with God so that you can forgive those people you need to forgive. You can heal the relationships that are broken. You can feel more connected with God because you're actually living out what you believe to be true. And I get that. Sometimes our head and our heart are not connected, and it takes a while to repair those bridges. But God is saying, you know what? When you live a changed life, you're a light to your community. When you live out your faith in Christ, God will heal those physical and emotional wounds. When you lived and are living a changed life, He'll open up those doors of truth in the gospel and the people which you're around. But if you're going to play religion during the week or on a Sunday and are wondering why I'm not answering your prayers, what God is saying to you this morning is, will you check yourself? Are you being a hypocrite? Because if you're being a hypocrite, I'm not going to answer your prayers. I'm going to put you through trials so that you learn and you grow. God says, don't just put on a show how spiritual you are. Go and be Christ to others. Let's not be hypocrites. Let's be the light in the darkness, shining forth in the world, faith, hope, and love. God is with you in that. He can help you make this change, and He can help you be that light in the world. You have all that you need to do this. All you need to do is surrender to God. Let's pray. God, this is a challenging verse, and it can cut home pretty deeply, cut our heart to our core, make us feel uncomfortable. Lord, if there's any people here who are feeling that right now, I pray that you would meet them there and help them dive down to the roots of perhaps what you're bringing to the surface, about what needs to change and where they need to grow. Lord, on top of that, I pray for each and every one of us that you help us live out our faith genuinely this week. That we would be something different in this world because we love you. That we would not just be checking boxes off, but that we would be living it out of joy and an overflowing in our heart because we have such love and compassion towards you. Lord, there's probably people here too that struggle with that connection with you. For those who are struggling, saying like, I'm trying to do that, I'm trying to change, Lord, will you meet them this afternoon? Don't forget about the Super Bowl or anything they're going to eat and just have a breakdown with you so that every barrier that is keeping them from you can be revealed and you can heal them this afternoon. Oh God, we thank you that you're a loving God and you walk with us through this all. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.